Don't suppose I'm not altogether sure what a Mother's Day message is. I guess it'd be a message that'd be fit to preach on Mother's Day, so I guess I do have one of those. Have a Mother's Day message this morning. But I appreciate the Lord giving us what we have to deliver to you this morning, and I appreciate the fact that God sees fit to send the sermons that He knows we need, when we need it, and how we need it, and it gives the strength and the power to deliver it in. And if He does not, then there'll be none, and I appreciate that. Forget the old time preacher man's name. He was a, if I could call his name right off the top of my head, for some reason he was an old hard shell Baptist preacher, streaky head, whatever you want to call him, foot washing. I mean, there's a lot of different terms for him. I don't know if all of them are complimentary or not, but he used to say if the preacher, he'd get up and begin to talk, and he'd say if the preacher don't come along, there won't be no preaching. And I never did, when I was a little fellow, understand what he was talking about. I mean, it looked like to me he was supposed to be the preacher. And he was standing there, and it looked like to me if he was supposed to be the preacher, then the preacher had come along, so preach. But now being in this place, I understand what he meant when he said, if the preacher doesn't come along, there'll be no preaching. And I appreciate the help of the Lord and the unction that's necessary to preach His Word. And I'm thankful for this passage of the Word of God. I'll read but one verse, that is this first verse of the Psalm from Psalm chapter 12. If you're able and willing, stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning. From Psalms chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Word of the Lord says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Notice the first two words of the psalm this morning. This is where we'll take our text. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Have you ever cried out to God for help? I mean, not a fancy prayer, not a long prayer, not an impressive prayer with great swelling words. Just help, Lord. I remember a little boy that used to go to church with us when we were kids, and he's a grown man now, and I don't know how many times anyone else reminds him of this, but I remember distinctively my little girl acts crazy pretty much every service. But what you don't know is she acts crazy like that every day at home too. And we're having to just try to spank it out of her best we can. Somebody say amen to spanking this morning. That's exactly right. It's necessary to give us good sense. And so we're trying to have to work that out best we can. This little boy, every Sunday morning, I'm guessing he probably acted like this the rest of the week too, because that's usually the pattern. Every Sunday morning to get in trouble, because every Sunday morning he acted ugly. And every Sunday morning his mom would have to take him out of the service. His daddy didn't come to church. The mom would come try to wrestle with him, make him do right. And she'd grab him by the hand. By this point he's already 3 or 4 years old, way too old to be acting like this. And she'd drag him down the aisle while he reached out to grab everybody and everything he could with his hands, feet, teeth, or whatever he could get a hold to him with. And hold on to keep from being drug outside the service. And to the top of his lungs he would scream, "Help me! Somebody's got to help me! My mama's about to kill me! Somebody help me!" And I thought this week when I read this verse of Scripture about little Brian Holden being drug out of the service, screaming help. And sometimes in our lives, I feel like life is dragging me along and the world is dragging me around. Going to wear me out. It's going to have my friend tear me up. And I must scream out when I don't even know what else to say. Help, Lord. You've got to help me. Somebody's got to help. And the Lord's the only one that really knows how. And that's where we find the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me. Oh, help, Lord. Help, Lord. The first two words of this psalm convey a great prayer. Prayer, my friend, is the Christian's vital breath. Prayer is the believer's very life. Without prayer, the person dies. We should always be in an attitude and an atmosphere of communication with God. That is what it means to pray without ceasing. My friend, to pray always in all things. That prayer does not have to be one of great swelling words, as it speaks of in 2 Peter 2:18. It doesn't have to be a prayer, my friend,
question, and prayer is not even answered because of our much speaking. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 7. A prayer is truly the sincere desire of the heart, according to Psalm 37 and 4. And God invites us to pour our hearts out before Him, according to Psalms 62 and 8. Pour your heart out before the Lord. So many times, prayers are prayed by the pouring out of the lips. They're prayed through the pouring out of our minds and our thoughts. Oh, but if we pray from the depths of our hearts, if we pray from down here, of what truly weighs upon our hearts, the Lord's not interested in how well you can speak in 16th century English whenever you begin to pray. But my friend, it's how from the depths of your soul you can cry out and say, "Help, Lord! Help, Lord!" When you pray from within, my friend, God sees past the words. God sees past the position of your body and your life, my friend. He sees past all of the rhetoric that we offer in our prayers. And He sees down to the depths of the soul and to the depths of the heart. And when we cry out, "Help, Lord," and don't even know what we need help for, or how to get help, or just what would even be a help, I'm glad God knows what we need before we even pray. Thank God. These two words at the beginning of Psalms 12 are often all that we really know to say, and it's often all it takes in order to get in touch with heaven. When we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to ask for, and when we don't know how to address God, or even how to express the feelings of our hearts, help, Lord. Well, many times get the job done. Oh, my, Romans chapter number 8 and verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It is much like that little girl who came to the altar to pray and knew not what to ask for. The preacher slid up close there beside her and was trying to pray with her. And he heard her in her prayer doing nothing more than reciting her alphabet. A, B, C, D, and on down the list. Frustrating the man of God. He said, "Sweetheart, I said that this is not a place to pray. Down here at the altar. This is a place to pray." She said, "I am praying, sir." He said, "Sound like to me you're just saying the alphabet." She said, "But I don't know what to pray for. But I thought if I just give God all the letters, He'd know how to take them and make the right words out of them." I tell you, that may seem mighty simple, but sometimes I feel that helpless as well. I mean, I don't even know how to pray, or what to pray for, or what to ask for. I've been in the prisons with rough, ragged men. And my friend, I've seen them. Now, you've got to be pretty tough to get this way. I've seen them with tattoos on them, their eyelids. How in the world you can stand to get a tattoo on your eyelid? I don't know. I've seen them with tattoos on their eyelids and across the top of their heads. And my friend, get broke down under the preaching of God's word and come to the altar and say, "You said something here that you need to pray about," and they say, "Yes, I need to get right with God, but I don't even know how to pray." I tell you, friend, listen, you may think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, that you know everything there is to know, that you're wise in yourself, but when you get to the place where you don't even know how to pray, I'm glad I can still say, "Help, Lord," and God knows how to take care of the rest. It may seem touch with heaven. You just got to be able to say from the depths of your soul, help, Lord. Help, Lord. I did then, my friend, the very remainder of this chapter, from verse number 1 all the way through verse number 8, is telling us why and how and what happened when he called, help, Lord. Help, Lord, is the foundation for the rest of the entire psalm. I want you to notice the three simple things about this prayer this morning. If I'm only preaching on two words, it ought not to take too long to do it, you would think. Oh, but there's so much in these two words. Help, Lord. Notice, first of all, this morning, the cause of his prayer. He said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful men fail from among the children of men. You see, the prevailing evil of his day and the failure of those who had once served God was the cause of his prayer. We too, friend, are living in evil times. Satan is on a rampage. He has you and your family and your children and your church in his crosshairs. Oh, my friend, we're living in a day where the godly man ceases. Oh, but God help us. If that is the case, if we're in a day likened to that of David, and David prays this prayer and finds help from the Lord, then here is also a prayer for us. Amen. Oh, for every parent who needs help with their children, every school teacher who wants to be used of God, every church member and preacher who's concerned about their church, every husband and wife who cares about their families, every sinner who needs to be saved, and my friend, every individual who's struggling with the cares of this life, help, Lord. And when we say that, friend, from the depths of our souls, God can intervene, and God alone can intervene and change people and situations. And my friend, especially in these wicked days, how we need to learn to cry aloud, help, Lord, and heaven will hear us when we pray.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's a blessing this morning to be able to pray. Amen. You may think, and you might even be right to this regard. You may think you have never really prayed. You've said some prayers, but you have never really prayed. You might even be right in that regard. You may think that you can't pray, but you're absolutely wrong in that regard. Hey, you can pray, but because Jesus prayed for you. We talked about that last Sunday. How Jesus prayed for you. Called on God for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. From the cross, interceded for us. And my friend now is making intercession at the right hand of God for us. When we cry out, help, Lord, we don't know the details. We don't understand everything about it. But Jesus does. And he's praying for us. Hey, somebody said, I'm not a very accomplished prayer warrior. Well, you hadn't got to have specific skills. You've just got to get into a place where you're ready to pour your heart out before God and say, help, Lord, and the Lord will help you. Amen. I remember Brother Milby saying they had come to him, a publisher had, and said, Preacher Milby, I would like for you to write for us a book about prayer. We've always respected your ministry and your work and heard your preaching. However, they had heard him preach on the things he had learned in the closet. And they said, we'd like for you to write a book about prayer. Or maybe so you could even title it, The Things You've Learned in the Closet. He said he considered it. He prayed about it. And he sat down and began to try to write. As he tried to write, he just couldn't get satisfied with anything that he put pencil and paper to. And finally he called the publisher back and said, well, sir, I don't think that the book that I would write would sell many copies. He said, all I can come up with on the front page and behalf can be a successful prayer warrior. He said, when you open it up, one page say. He said on the inside of the flat, it just saying, do it. Amen. Pray, 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 pray. You don't have to be taught how to pray. Their disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. In Luke 18, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. He will teach us to pray. We just need to get busy praying. Amen. And you can become a successful prayer warrior.
Amen.
Amen. The psalmist was living in days of national decay due to a turning away from God. That is the very cause of our problems in our modern decadent society in which we live. The godly man ceaseth. All it takes for evil men to rule is for good men to do nothing. Men of godly faith have been squeezed out of public life. This word ceaseth in the Hebrew is equivalent to our word exterminated. That is to have been annihilated or removed altogether. The godly man ceaseth. How few godly men there are among politicians, philosophers, the psychiatrists, educators, the so-called architects of society. How few godly people there are in the ranks of parents and grandparents. Amen, that's right. It blow your mind to mess. And my friend that goes on in homes around you and families that you think you know. God help us. Maybe I am preaching a Mother's Day message. Amen. God help us as parents to learn to love our children and pray for them. I tell you, if there's anything that ought to cause you to find a place on your knees and cry, help, Lord. It's when you consider your children and the needs that they have and the things that they're going to face in this wicked and untoward generation. Oh, how we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Psalms chapter 121, beginning in verse 1, David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Help, Lord. I can't help myself. I've got to have help from you.
Right.
The cause of the prayer. Secondly, this morning I want you to see the characteristics of the prayer. You'd think with two words, help, Lord, they wouldn't have a whole lot to the characteristics of the prayer, but there's some specific things to notice about these two words. Only two words, yet it's powerful enough to shake heaven. I wonder in all your praying, maybe in lengthy means, maybe your long words, maybe your much speaking, maybe your great swelling words, do you shake heaven when you pray? Do you rattle the gates of hell when you pray? The psalmist prayed, help, Lord, and he shook heaven. In all your fancy words that you can say, and all of your advice that you've been given to God on how He ought to work in your life and what He ought to be doing down in your home, I wonder, do you shake heaven when you pray? These words, my friend, maybe but two words, but they shook heaven. Notice the characteristics of the prayer. It was a short prayer. And the rest of the psalm is a description of the cause of these two words. Charles Spurgeon called this a telegram prayer. You see, my friend, a telegram is written concisely with as few words as possible because they charge you by the letter. And my friend, a telegram, you try to make sure you get the message across without wasting any time or any space on anything that's unnecessary. He called this a telegram of prayer. I wonder, when's the last time you telegraphed heaven? Amen. When's the last time that you rung the prayer bells of heaven with a telegram prayer? Our prayer's not complicated for you. A short prayer can still be effective. One man said prayer is the upward glancing of an eye or the falling of a tear, and neither takes very long. Long prayers are not the key to reaching God. A telegram prayer may well accomplish more than what we could have ever imagined. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Mama. Now, if you were to send me a telegram that said help, I wouldn't even know where to start. I wouldn't know what is going on in your life.
I wouldn't know what you needed help with. I wouldn't know how to help. I wouldn't know when you needed help or where to help. But see, as the Lord knows everything already that's going on, and He said He knows what we need before we pray, help, Lord, will do the trick if you're praying from the soul. Amen. It'll accomplish the job if you're praying from within. It was a short prayer. And then the second characteristic I see of this prayer is that it was a simple prayer. It was not a complicated prayer. It was a simple prayer. Highfalutin phrases are not included in a telegram. Amen. You don't look for the most colorful words possible. You look for the most concise words possible. Highfalutin phrases are not used in telegrams. Every word costs money. The message must be short and simple. So often we think prayer is about weaving wonderful words into an artful and impressive arrangement. But the simplest prayers may accomplish the most. It was short. It was simple. Thirdly, the characteristic of this prayer is it was sincere. The psalmist was not crying wolf. He was sincere. He needed help. He was praying a real, heartfelt prayer. He genuinely sought after help from God. I wonder when you pray, do you mean what you say to the Lord? Are you serious about what you pray? I mean, when you say, Lord, whatever it's going to take now to save my lost loved one, that's what I want. Do you really? Do you really want that? Do you mean what you pray? What if it means you're sacrificing something? What if it means you having to do something? What if it means God shaking up things in your life and your family? Do you mean what you pray? I mean, when you say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want you to use me. I want you to take my life and make something of it for your glory. Do you really mean that when you pray? What if it's not what you're thinking about that He wants you to do? Lord, I'll do anything you say to do if you'll just do this for me. I mean, friend, do you really mean what you say when you pray?
I remember when I got saved, I prayed and I said, Lord, if you'll just save me, if you'll just save me, I'll do anything you want me to do. But I wasn't anticipating what that was. I wasn't planning on preaching. I mean, that wasn't what I had in mind. I was 13 years old. I just wanted to get saved. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't lost and on my way to hell. And really, I was desperate, friend. I mean, I was desperate. The Lord, the Holy Ghost had convicted me, let me see myself dangling over the pit of hell, knowing I was lost. I couldn't sleep at night. I mean, I've told him before, but I'd watch the lights shine out. I'd got to municipal airport over here at Mount Sinai. I'd see them lights shine there. I'd watch them blinking. Flashing lights coming in on those planes are starting to land as just a boy. And I'd sit there and wonder if those are really those lights over at the airport. Or maybe that light's shining down from heaven. Jesus is coming back and I'm not ready. I'm not laying in bed at night. Once in a while, I'd get up and go look in another room. I knew mom and dad was born again. I'd check to see if they're still in the bed. Because I knew if Jesus had come, that they'd be gone. And when they were still in the bed, it made me feel better. I'd go back and lay down again. Oh, my. I just wanted to be seen and get that weight off of my shoulders. Woo! And I pray, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do anything. I mean anything you want me to do. And He did, Brother Matthew. He saved me. He lifted that weight off my shoulders. Hallelujah. The sweet Spirit of God moved in my life. And I knew He heard my prayer. And my friend, too much I told it. And the good Holy Ghost began working in my life. And every time I'd pray and try to enjoy Jesus, He'd say, it's time now to do what you said you'd do. And He began to deal with my heart about preaching. And my Craig Parsons stood and preached on a Sunday morning in September after I'd been saved in June on making promises and keeping your vow to God. And seemed like the whole sermon, he hammered my pew and pointed his finger at me.
desire. But I couldn't get away from the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm saying, son, you promised me. You made a promise. You said you'd do whatever that I wanted you to do if I'd save you. Well, I did what you asked. I saved you. And now get busy doing what you said. I'm finally on the 24th day of October in 1989. I said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you said. I wonder when you pray, do you really mean what you say? His was a sincere prayer. Help, Lord. Oh, my. Do you really want God to work? Are you sincere when you pray? Oh, my. Robert Sheffy, great evangelist, my friend in the 1800s, was rejected when seeking a license to preach from the district supervisors of his day. The reason that they gave him was that he had a very unusual manner of praying. They said, Brother Sheffy, when you pray, it's been reported that you talk as if you were speaking directly to God when you pray. Brother Sheffy's response to that was, well, sir, just exactly who is it you're talking to when you pray? Amen. Oh, my. I wonder when you pray, are you talking to those who might listen? When you pray, are you concerned about who's around? When you pray, are you worried about what others may or may not hear or say? When you pray, are you trying to impress yourself with how eloquent you can be? Or when you pray, are you talking to the Lord? I remember Brother Ed Ballou, who's done gone to heaven, telling about going into that a little old wore out house without a floor in it to eat with this woman. While he and the pastor, this elderly woman gonna feed him at during revival meeting that week, and said she had the floor swept with a broom. That old dirt floor in that house. I said the house wasn't fit for a dog to live in. That said she kept it neat and clean. And they said she set them down at an old table, old wooden table. And they sat on old wooden chairs. And whenever she came over to the table, she bought a big old bowl of butter beans. And they said she brought a little old pone of cornbread and set it down for him. He said he looked at that little bowl of butter beans and pone of cornbread and thought, there's no way this will be enough to feed all three of us. And he said, I haven't had anything to eat all day. And I was hungry. And they said, she told him, said, preacher, I'm glad to have both of you men of God here in my house. But if it's okay with you, I'd like to say the blessing myself. And the pastor said, that'd be good, Sister Maggie. And said, she bowed her little head. I dangled that little pony neck. Reached out with them feeble hands and grabbed the hands. Now then, preacher, me. And with a trembling voice, she said, Lord, it's Maggie again. And I just want to say thank you for everything you've done. He said, I'm telling you, the door didn't come open, but there's a breeze coming in. Amen. And the Lord began to move in there. I said, next thing you know, she got done praying. And we started eating beans. And he said, I ate beans till I like to blew up. And said, there's still beans in that bowl. He said, I had all I wanted. The preacher had all he wanted. Maggie had all she wanted. And still there was beans in the bowl. He said, I don't care if anybody believes or not. Don't make no difference to me. I was there to see it all. Friend, it's not about how you can impress others, but it's the sincerity of the heart. I wonder, do you pray like Maggie? Or like the Pharisees who stand in public and speak so others might hear and think they'll be heard by their much speaking? I wonder, do you really mean what you say when you pray? Do you really mean what you say when you pray? Sincerely seek the Lord and He'll be found of you. The characteristics of this prayer, it was short, it was simple, it was sincere. And then I want to say it was prayed with a spirit of fervency. Spirit of fervency. Like Peter when he walks on the water out to Jesus. He hadn't got time to begin his prayer with niceties. He hadn't got time to begin his prayer with preliminaries. He hasn't got time to give a speech. He's sinking in the water. I'm going to drown, sure as the world. And so he prays with a fervency. He prays with a sense of urgency. And my friend, he says, Lord, save me. This too in Psalms chapter 12 is a cry of a drowning man. He's in a sea of wickedness and evil and peril. And his brief prayer was a piercing scream. And it penetrated the gates of heaven. And ended up at the mercy seat of God. I tell you, friend, the fervency of your prayer will have more to do with the success of it than the beauty of the words that you use. And James 5 and 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I mean, help, Lord. If you pray with a sense of fervency and urgency, has a way of shaking heaven on your behalf.
Amen. The characteristics of the prayer. The cause of prayer. And I'm closing with this morning. The consequences of the prayer. I mean, did it do him any good? Did it matter to say? The devil says, there ain't no use to pray. God's not going to do anything in hell. There's no use to you keep on with that praying business. It hadn't done you no good so far. Look at the mess you got. You notice he never shows up and says that when you're being blessed. He only shows up when you're in a problem and he says, see, all this praying ain't done you no good or else you wouldn't have this problem. He never says that when you're dancing in the clover and having a good time. He don't remind you about prayer then. He only tries to tell you how useless your prayers are whenever you're having problems in your life. Amen. Oh my. The consequences of the prayer. Oh, listen, this word help, the underlying Hebrew word can be translated as save. Help, Lord. Save, Lord. Oh, my friend, it's the same word that's used, underlying word that's used in verse number 5, where it says, I will set him in safety, or I will save him. As a consequence of crying help, the psalmist was made safe. As a consequence of a prayer, I'm crying out for God to save him. God did just exactly what he asked and saved him. Amen. Somebody said, what will the Lord do if you ask him for help? Well, he will help. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. Chapter number 20. A psalm says, the Lord hear thee. In the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of sight. I'm glad the Lord, when we ask him to help, you know what he'll do, Brother John? He'll help. That's what he'll do. You ask him to save, you know what he'll do? He'll save. That's what he'll do. I'll tell you, the Lord say, ears not heavy that he cannot hear. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. I'm so glad God hears and answers prayers. Oh, thank God. The consequences of a prayer that says, help, Lord, is that you'll get help from the Lord. God, when you say help, Lord, the Lord will help.
Amen.
The Lord will help. The consequences of the prayer. You don't need a big prayer to get saved.
Right.
You just got to pray for it. Just got to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I tell you, my friend, hey, oh, listen, you have not because you ask not. Isn't that right? I mean, friend, you just got to ask. Get serious with God. Get honest before God. I mean, friend, get ready to do business with God. And then you don't have to say a whole lot. Help, Lord. Save me, Lord. I need you, Lord. It is enough. So somebody said, well, I need to say, is there scripture that I need to quote to get saved? Not a single one. What about the Romans Road? That tells you how to get to where you can be saved. The Bible's what instructs us on how to get to where we can be saved. And then, friend, when you get there, all you got to do is ask the Lord to save you, and he'll do what you asked him to.
He's only a prayer away.
It's not complicated. My little girl, 9 years old. My friend, listen, now she'd been schooled. I mean, we try to teach them the gospel and the scriptures. But when it comes time to get saved, help, Lord. Save me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. That's all it takes. I mean, that's all that it takes to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
This prayer was a success. He said, I will set him in safety. Help me, Lord. He said, I'll do it. This prayer was a success. And the success of it came not from rhetorical eloquence. It came not from geometric dimensions, that is, the length, the width, the height, or the depth of the prayer. It came not from musical harmony, that is, how sweet sounding that it was to others. It came not from logic, that is, the arguments we use to try to twist God's arm to get things to be the way we think we need for them to be or want them to be. It came not from the doctrine or scripture texts that were quoted in the prayer. Now, Lord, you said in your word. That's okay. Have my friend help, Lord, if you're serious. We'll do more than you quote scripture to Jesus, and he already knows we'll ever do. Amen. Well, my friend, you're not winning over God in logic or doctrine. This prayer is in telegram form rather than sermonic, catalog, or book fashion. This prayer is not impressive in its length. It's poetry or prose. But the impressiveness of this prayer is in of this prayer.
Amen.
I wonder, friend, you may think you know how to pray. I wonder. You may think you know how to give a good public prayer. But I wonder, does things happen in heaven when you pray? I wonder, does heaven rattle when you say, help, Lord? I wonder when you scream out, help, Lord, does it pierce through the gates of heaven, make its way all the way to the mercy seat of God, and ring the prayer bells of the glory world? The effectiveness of this prayer, consequences. He said, help, Lord. God said, I'll save him. I'll take care of him. He's in danger. He's in peril. You know, folks have got him in his crosshairs. He's under attack. He don't know how to take care of himself. He's in a situation where he realizes the trouble he has with sin, situations, struggles of life, sickness, the struggles he has with the lostness of his own soul, our lives are greater than what he can handle in himself. And he's asked for our help. And the Godhead in Acts, my friend, all of heaven for us. And he said, and this child has asked for help. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to give him what he needs. We're going to help him. I'm glad I know what it is to say help, Lord. And I know what it is to be helped of the Lord. I'm telling you, God will hear and answer prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Does something happen in heaven when you pray? I wonder, does something happen in hell when you pray? I mean, when you pray, does it scare the devil a little bit? Does it make him worry about his agenda and whether or not it'll get accomplished unfettered? I want to be the kind of person that when I pray, the devil gets concerned about what's about to happen. Not because of me, but because I know how to get in touch with a God that is much bigger than I. Hallelujah. I talked to this last night, this morning, got a response by email from a friend of mine, Jim Ramsey. I've talked about him a fair amount. I wish he could get a visa and get into the States. He lives in Ontario, Canada. I wish he could get a visa and get in the States and come down here and just move right in next to the church house. He's been such a blessing to me. And he prays for me every day. And I talk to him along the way, and he encourages me and he helps me. It's a man I've never seen. I've never even heard his voice on the other end of the phone. But every day he lets me know, preacher, I'm praying for you. And I want you to know you've been a blessing to me. Every single day. Now, I mean, what in the world could I have done to deserve somebody never even saw me before Don't know anything. I mean, never shook my hand, never heard his voice. And yet every day, he said, I just wanted to send you a message, let you know that I'm praying for you and for your wife and for your little girls and for your church today. I'm praying that God will help you. And I'm talking in sincerity. So the other night he just sat down and began to work on an email. Just poured out his heart, 3 or 4 pages. Some of you probably would have got tired of reading. But it is encouraging me. And he's talking about the struggles as having there with not having a church around of any sort. And how dry and hungry that he is to hear from God. He mentioned this morning to me, he said, you know, preacher, he said, I find people everywhere that wants to talk about the hockey game. You know, we're talking about Canada now. He said, about the hockey games and about the football games. And he said, I find people everywhere wants to talk about money and finance and politics. They said, my heart is so hungry to talk to somebody about the one my soul loves. Oh, he said, I just need to talk to somebody who knows what I'm talking about and can fellowship with me in the gospel. He said, just to get to share my heart with you, such a blessing. He said, I want you to know about 11 o'clock this morning, my wife and I will be sitting at our kitchen table like we do every Sunday. And we'll be with our Bibles open praying for our preacher boy down in Bremen, Georgia, over 1,000, maybe 2,000 miles away. But we'll be a praying for you. I am so glad I know people who know how to pray. I'm so thankful to have the privilege this morning of being able to pray to touch heaven today. I wonder when you pray, does something happen in heaven? I wonder when you pray, does something happen in hell? I wonder when you pray, do things happen on earth? Does prayer change things when you pray? Prayer changes things. And prayer changes me. I wonder, does something happen when you pray? Listen to me. It's not always the one you see the most, know the most about, some well-known evangelist, some pastor, some church, some minister, preacher. Those not always the people that knows how to pray. I want to be a prayer warrior. But those are not always the people. Sometimes the people you never hear a peep out of in the service. The folks you just don't know all that much about, their Christian walk. Sometimes they're the ones that really know how to pray. Eleanor Millines. Some of you know or some of you don't. Eleanor Millines knows how to pray. That's right. If you don't want something to happen, don't even ask Eleanor to pray for it. It's going to happen. When Eleanor Millines sits down for a moment and begins to talk to the Lord, I mean, heaven moves.
Amen.
That's right. I've seen it time and again. Time and again. My daddy was working out of town. Come revival time, he directs the choir, all this stuff at the church. Working out of town, many, many miles away, not able to get back for the meeting. Desired heavily, wanted to come to the meeting. Asked Eleanor Millines, said, pray. Said, if it just rain a few days, if it just come a good rain several days. Said, I don't care if I have to drive all the way down to Savannah. And I said, let it rain us out and drive all the way back for the meeting and drive back at night. I just want to be a part of the revival meeting. You pray that God would send some rain a day or two so I can be here just at least some. I'd love to come all of the meeting, but said, just pray. Sister Eleanor committed to him with tears in her eyes. She said, Brother James, God's going to make a way for you to get to this meeting and be here. She commenced to praying. I'm talking about in the middle of the driest summer we'd had in years. Commenced to praying to God in the middle of July, seeing heavy rains, and give him a day or two to be in the meeting. It come a heavy rain. It come such a heavy rain that it rained all day, all night, all week. It flooded the plain where he was working. It washed the bridge out where he was. It was 2 weeks before they could get back to work again. I'm telling you, things happen when Eleanor Millines prays. I wonder when you pray, Brother Paul, when folks come to you and say, pray for my wife, my children, my family. Pray for those that are lost. Pray for this situation in my family, in my home. I wonder if things happen in heaven when you pray.
Amen.
It's not cause of eloquent words. It's a sincere desire of the heart. I'm finished preaching. You come on the song. I'm done this morning. What God had me to say. I wonder, have you ever prayed through? The old timers would talk about praying through. Some folks say, what are you talking about praying through? What you got to pray through? Oh, you got to pray through a lot of stuff. You got to pray through selfishness. You got to pray through the distractions of this world. You got to pray through, my friend, the unwillingness and the enmity of the flesh that is with God. You got to pray through the hindrances that will take your eyes off of Jesus. You got to pray through temptations and trials and difficulties. You got to pray through. I wonder, have you ever prayed and knew God answer your prayer? If you've ever been saved, you have. And if you've not been saved, you can. You can start prayer life here this morning getting born again. And if you're saved today and need to pray, oh, listen, let me just stop that and rewind. There's no if you need to pray. You need to pray. Sometimes we need it worse than we do it others, but we need to pray. We need to pray. I wonder how far heaven is. I had a fellow ask me this week, said, how far is it to heaven? I don't know how far it is to heaven. But as I thought about it, I've come to this truth. I do know that heaven is near enough for God to hear me when I pray. I know it's near enough for Him to send an answer to meet my need. I know it's near enough for Him to look on my life and not miss one detail of where I am. I know it's near enough for Him to know it when I simply cry, help, Lord, and He'll help. Stand to your feet. If you need to talk to the Lord this morning, would you come and seek the face of God? Help, Lord, and He'll help. Do you need to talk to the Lord this morning? Help, Lord. Save, Lord. Work in my life, Lord. The sincere desire of the heart. Oh, how God knows what we need when we pray. Help, Lord. He will hear, He will help. He will set a hedge about you. Situations in my family, situations in my finances, health, sickness, sin, trouble with the soul, lostness, concern for my children, my grandchildren, my home, work troubles, labor troubles. A song we used to sing back in the 80s said, Jesus, now more than ever, we are sailing through stormy weather. I tell you, this is difficult times, but I tell you, we need Him now. We need Him now more than ever. And I'm glad God's still answering those prayers. Help, Lord. Just this morning, Brother J.B. was telling us in the prayer room how God helped him this week, worked in his life, and a blessing. God still answers prayers. He's that kind of God. Now, we'll not have service this evening. If you have an opportunity to meet with your family, or if your mom's still with us, I'd be sure to get around to mom's and let her know how much you appreciate her. I've always felt like maybe you ought to give your mama a present on your birthday instead of her giving you one. I mean, she did all the work. But I guess Mother's Day is where we make up for that. See, she give you something on your birthday and you take care of her on Mother's Day. So here it is on Mother's Day, but you be good to mom while you can. There'll come a day when you wish you could pick up the phone and talk to her. So enjoy that opportunity and privilege while you can. And we'll meet back on Wednesday evening, back in those questions of the Bible. Didn't we have a good time this past Wednesday night? Praise God. So come, be a part of the meeting if you can on Wednesday night. And this afternoon, I hope you enjoy your day and your time together with your family. Take some time to fellowship. You can be dismissed. I appreciate you coming this morning.
Preacher than steal from him. Forgot mine. I'm going to go to the next one.
Soft-hearted now. He's not like he used to be. He sat there through the meeting this morning 4 or 5 times.